Yo, TWG. G. Safe, gang. Yeah.
Yo, der eine aus Australien, der andere aus Wien.
TWG.
Jacob und Gabriel spitten hier im Beat. Der eine redet schlechtes Englisch, der andere scheiß Deutsch. Wir spitten hier die Rhymes so fresh. Komm, verschwind ganz schnell, sonst clasht's. TWG represent.
I think my ears are blocked.
Maybe.
I think I have a lot of wax in my ears.
Probably.
Tell me, Patrick, what kind of doctor can I go to?
You have to put a candle in it.
Yeah, I've seen this yeah. on YouTube because I YouTubed it.
I want to try it.
Have you done it?
No, I haven't.
But people put candles in their ear. I don't understand how that sucks out the wax. That just would.
I think it's under pressure wax. Thing. It pulls it out.
Uh huh.
Like there's unter Druck.
And then you have your own ear candle?
Yeah.
Like that. So you put a string in it first. You put a string in your ear first.
You have your own scented candle.
Scented. Exactly.
Yeah, it's scented.
It's scented like earwax.
Yeah.
Ear gunk.
Amazing.
That's almost as good as this. Like, boogers don't smell. Have you ever noticed that?
That would be weird.
If boogers smell?
They probably taste because many kids eat their boogers. So probably. I don't know.
Many kids.
Yes, kids.
Yeah, yeah. The inverted commas there. Only kids.
Kids
of course.
Do it.
I never pick my nose.
I never did.
I think if all adults are honest, they pick their nose. And they've tasted it. Everybody's tasted their nose boogers.
Yeah, but not after the age of like 6. Did you?
Okay.
You fucker.
I think I tasted it after the age of 6. That's why.
You did.
I didn't go back. It wasn't like a repetitive habit.
I remember the taste.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
Salty.
Okay. Are we rolling already?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's interesting.
Just warming up.
That's very nice to get into this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a good topic. I'm glad we're already into the fleshy stuff, you know.
Yes, yeah.
But do you think that's an evolutionary thing that boogers don't smell? Because it's in your nose. So if it smelled,
it probably does, but we kind of adapt to it.
Whoa, you just blew my mind now.
My if you don't shower for a few days, you start not like...
In this weather, if you don't shower after an hour.
You smell and then you don't realize it anymore, probably. I don't know.
Say, hey, TVG gang and you beautiful people of Austria. Patrick and I are the only soul... I feel like we're the only soul survivors in an apocalypse, like a zombie apocalypse, because outside on the street, there's nobody.
Nobody.
Because the heat, it's 34 degrees in Vienna. Yeah. The concrete, you could fry an egg on it. And like, I feel like it's one of those things, you know, people are hiding in the shadows, like they're walking along buildings. Yeah, yeah. If they go into the sun, they're like...
Yeah, it's like a pizza oven.
Yeah, yeah, it's really hot.
Too much stone.
Yeah, too much stone. Everybody's in a body of water of some kind.
In your own water, basically, yeah.
Yeah, that too, because you're sweating so much.
Jesus, yeah.
Or they're out of the city, I think.
That's true, Sommerfrische.
Sommerfrische, yeah.
Yeah.
What is Sommerfrische? Educate us, Patrick.
It's historical that in the summer it was too hot in Vienna, so they all had little houses in Niederösterreich or somewhere, and they went out. Yeah.
But isn't that funny? Historically, it was too hot in the city. Now,
already,
it's like
probably
10 times as hot in the city.
True.
We all should be doing Sommerfrische.
We should, and we are sitting here and doing this.
Recording a podcast.
Amazing.
Because that's what you do.
That's what you do. As a professional.
Friday public holiday.
on a Feiertag.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I thank you for that. Patrick.
You're welcome.
Do you, so just to get this out of the way, German is, German. Patrick is German.
I'm the German.
I'm the German.
Don't mention the war.
He makes me very nervous. You wouldn't know.
We ask the questions.
You wouldn't notice because Patrick hasn't got any accent in his English.
That's a lie.
That's not a lie.
South Africa.
I don't even know a South African accent. What's a South African accent?
I think it's very much like a German trying to speak English. And then mixed in some Dutch, and it's very funny.
Okay.
Yeah. But we all struggle with our accents like all Germans do.
It's one of the biggest struggles that Germany has at the moment.
The biggest, that's true.
Yeah.
Besides the economy.
Yeah, the shitty economy. So if you name the top three, it's shitty economy.
Accent and accents. Maybe AfD. No, let's not get into political AfD. Stuff.
And they really struggle with their accents.
Yeah, they do.
That's why they go into the AfD, because they're true. Like, well, I can't fix my accent. I sound like an idiot when I try and talk to foreigners. So I'm going to say all foreigners out.
Amazing. Yeah. Let's repeat that shit.
That's clever.
Good idea.
So just to clarify, I'm going to introduce you a bit. I'm talking to Patrick Sundvold. I said it right, no?
Sundvold, but close enough.
There's an N in there.
Yes.
It's a very complicated name.
I know. It's from the north. It's a Viking name.
And so I want to just display briefly. Patrick didn't know I was going to do this. So I just want to display how close me and Patrick are. Patrick's actually one of my favorite people in this city. Outside of the city, not so much.
It's enough for here.
But I just wanted to recount some of the conversation we had in our messages.
Okay.
I'm going to edit it.
Oh, my God.
Tomorrow is bank holiday. Are you aware? Still 2:30. And so this is Patrick asking me if I'm aware if it's a bank holiday. And because we'd already scheduled it in. It's okay for me as long as it is for you. It is for me. Every day is a holiday, said the German. Let's go for lunch before. Or you need a work. And then I didn't answer it for a while. And he sent a finger sticking up to the message.
Yes, dude.
And I wrote back, so pushy. Pushy, push, push. Just chill, German. I can't because I've got the kids, whatever. Okay. And then, and then it goes on and he's like, can we say the C word in the podcast? And so you get the point.
It's our favorite word.
Patrick and I, we're familiar with each other. So just to clarify, there may be some things in this podcast where you're wondering why we can speak to each other that way. That's because we know each other that way.
A little bit, yeah.
But beside being my mate, I consider you a mate. That's okay, no?
Absolutely. I love it.
he's also a very successful entrepreneur. He has had a past life as a very talented creative director at many agencies, Germany and Austria, no?
And international. Yes, sir.
Wow, this always sounds impressive.
Yeah, being an Ausländer everywhere.
Yeah, even if you say you've cleaned toilets internationally, exactly. That sounds impressive.
Facility management executive.
Exactly. I clean toilets in Singapore. Anyway,
that's a challenge, actually.
Cleaning toilets in Singapore?
Yeah, because it's already so clean. Yeah. Jesus.
Okay. And so Patrick runs a company called Good At, right? So good.at. Go check it out, especially if you're an entrepreneur of any kind, looking for talented creatives, designers, and so forth. Who am I missing out? All kinds of anybody that's to
everything,
do with marketing.
Yeah.
But just not just marketing, anything to do with design,
strategy,
brand stuff, that's still marketing.
Everything,
Yeah. And also on the other side, if you're a freelancer or an entrepreneur, solopreneur, right, and you want to get your name out there and you want to get connected with the right people, you got to get on that platform, Good At, because it's not only a very pretty platform, because the creative director was involved in that.
Yeah, I was the pain in the ass. I think I was the client from hell for every other creative. But yeah,
there's going to be a lot of slurping in this episode because it's so hot.
It's so hot. You have to drink.
But so today we're going to talk about how to be. So it's an interesting position. We began with the topic how to be a entrepreneur or solopreneur in Austria, and also how to be a German. But we'll talk a bit more about that in Austria because that's a specific thing.
It is.
But then it developed already a bit further before we began recording, where we thought actually it's extremely interesting being an Ausländer, so a foreigner in a country, of any country, and building a business there. And so we thought we're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about the German topic a bit. And also talking about how it feels when you don't really have a home. Like, as in, you're not living in the place where you grew up. So you're kind of lost everywhere,
yeah.
As Patrick
put. Where is home then?
Where is home?
Is it in you? Is it in someone else? Is it a place? I don't know.
I'm pretty confident or convinced that my home is actually not on this planet.
I think absolutely agree to that.
I think I came from somewhere else, right? This is not a Jesus complex. This is not an
directly
it's an
from
alien
hell.
Complex.
Oh, yeah. It's an alien complex.
It's an alien complex. I think
so nice.
I am an alien.
Okay.
And maybe I watched Men in Black too many times as a kid.
You actually, yeah, if the hair, the shirt, it makes sense now. Yeah.
I'm wearing a very floral shirt today because I've got a party afterwards where they said the theme is flowers.
And I'm not invited, obviously.
No, yeah. You don't know them.
Of course. Welcome to Austria.
You don't know them.
You don't know anybody.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to talk about today. But Patrick, maybe did you want to introduce yourself and how the hell you ended up in Vienna? Give us the short clip notes, all right?
Okay. I have no idea how I ended up here, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But so I grew up in Bavaria, actually. Mm-hmm.
Bayern.
It's Bayern. It's not Germany. It's not Austria. It's somewhere in between.
Yeah.
So, which is always good if you're here and then you say you're from Bavaria, it's fine.
Yeah.
So it's not the Piefke. It's like half Piefke only.
Isn't that interesting? It is interesting. Can you explain that a bit for those that don't know this kind of truth here, that Bavarians are kind of accepted here and in Germany, they're kind of very different to the northern Germans?
I think we are closer to Austria than the rest of Germany, honestly.
Because culturally or?
Yeah, culturally. And like also this being a little bit grantig all the time. And it's like very, we are close to the mountains. And it is more similar than compared to Hamburg or Berlin people.
Yeah.
But it's such a big country, you can't really compare it anyway. No. So, and there are cool people or assholes everywhere. So,
is like there? My are there? Really?
Grandpa used in Vienna to say, too? No, not in Vienna.
But Bavaria is such a beautiful part of Germany.
It is.
And it's the richest part of Germany, as in economically.
It is now. It used to be different.
Yeah?
Yeah, it used to be like only like Landwirtschaft, only farmers and everything. And they invested very smart. And now, it's called Laptop and Lederhosen. It's like
laptop
the
and
computer and tradition.
That's funny.
And now they're very rich, that's true, and everybody wants to go there because it's a very strong economy and everything. So I grew up in that, in a little village called Jesenwang with 800 people.
Jesenwang. 800 people?
800 people. It was really a village, like a little one. And then I think when I was 20 or something, I moved to Munich to study graphic design.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in Munich for a time, and then I went to Cape Town for 2 years and actually built a little agency there because there was something called Black Empowerment. So you couldn't get a job there if you are a foreigner and a white foreigner because it was to support the local economy.
Okay.
So I was kind of forced to do my own thing, which worked out pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in retrospective, I'm like, what the fuck? You're like in your 20s and you go to a different country, don't speak the language properly, and you build something like that.
And you just decided, where did you get the confidence from to just
I have
do
no
that?
Idea. I have really no idea why. If I think about it now, it's insane, but I was like, let's just do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I went with my girlfriend that time.
Yeah.
And I always knew I wanted to go like live somewhere else. I wanted to leave Munich and I had the opportunity to go to Hamburg and Berlin, but I wanted to go somewhere else where you speak English and where it's sunny and you have like really good people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was never interested in America or the US. And Australia was too far away that time for me.
Yeah.
So I was like, why not? So let's go there.
South Africa.
And it was a really cool time. But after 2 years, I was like a little bit fed up because it was in 2004 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite dangerous.
Yeah.
And a lot of shit happened. Not to me, but in my circle of friends, a lot of shit happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of, if you're like grow up in this happy world and you don't have to think about anything, and then you are in such a place which looks amazing and is beautiful and cool people, but it's always this feeling of, I always thought the sea is a good metaphor for the whole thing because mm-hmm. it looks like Mediterranean, but it's icy cold. So you have
the sea.
Yeah. It's like really? The Atlantic. Yeah, it's very
okay.
Cold.
Yeah, it's the Atlantic. Yeah.
So if you are there and you feel like, oh, I'm in the south of France, but you're not, and like you know, a kilometer away, people are dying or starving. It's so weird to be
yeah,
in
poverty,
that
yeah.
energy. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So I was kind of after 2 years, I left again and I went back to Munich.
Yeah.
And I worked a little bit there, but then I was tired of it. And then I went to Vienna the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked for agencies here in advertising. I was an art director that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after 4 or 5 years, after I think 2 years at Jungformat, which killed me close yeah. to a burnout.
Yeah, Jungformat's a really hardcore agency in
it
Vienna,
is.
For those that don't know. Yeah.
It's amazing still. I love it. It's a cool brand and they do good stuff. But it was a tough time. Then I went to Australia, actually,
yeah.
to your home country.
Didn't meet each other.
We didn't, which is a surprise.
Yeah. So surprising, yeah. considering the size of the country.
I think keeping it brief, we're way over that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Australia, then Berlin, then back to Vienna, then Namibia, then back to Vienna, and now I'm here.
Namibia?
I went to Namibia.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
What did you do in Namibia?
I freelanced for Young & Rubicam.
Really?
Yes.
And you were just living in Namibia?
I was living in Namibia in Windhoek.
I have no idea. I'm completely ignorant to Namibia.
It's a capital, yeah. It's like
Windhoek.
Windhoek, yeah. It's like mm-hmm. 250,000 people. It used to be like a German, how do you say, like colony?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think it was the only one in
That's
Africa.
Why you went there to try and
exactly,
start up.
Exactly, that's why.
You had a startup? You had a startup?
That My was people.
It was going to try and colonize Namibia again.
Yeah. This is actually funny because it was in the north and in Namibia, the whole apartheid thing wasn't that crazy like in South Africa. So mm-hmm. I think the whites and the blacks, they fought together against apartheid. So it's not that dangerous and it's very chill between everybody, but it's kind of separated, but not like strictly. And the agency was in the north part, which is mainly like black people living there, and the south part is mainly white.
Mm-hmm.
But the agency was in the north, so I was in a mall, the only white person, which was weird, but also funny because everybody's looking like, what are you doing here? But it wasn't dangerous, but it was interesting to feel like the other way around. Like,
yeah.
Okay, this is how you feel.
Yeah.
If you are clearly separated from everybody,
yeah.
from your looks.
Yeah. And that's how black people must feel here, no?
Maybe, yeah.
Like when you think
probably.
About it, because I was just thinking like, you're the complete opposite here.
Yeah.
You blend in here so much that people don't consider you an Ausländer, you know, except Austrians.
Yeah, it's true.
Because Austrians would hear your accent.
Yeah.
But like otherwise you know the culture, you're fluent in the culture, you're fluent in the language.
Oh, that's a
you walk
big
around like
misunderstanding.
You own the shit, you own this joint, like because yeah, Germans think they own the Austrians.
Exactly.
No. Just joking. Just joking. Nervously.
Just joking.
Yeah, so that's I was just thinking to myself, that's exactly how a black person must feel here.
Yeah, maybe.
In
it's
a mall.
Cool that we two white dudes talk about that.
Shopping city suit.
No idea.
I think it's important. I think it's important.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Empathy is important.
Exactly.
Yeah, but we don't often have this experience, so it was weird for me to experience that. But
yeah.
It was also interesting and also nice because everybody was really nice.
Yeah, I had this experience. So I didn't have it very often either when I was traveling because I always like got away with looking South American when I traveled South America. When I was
you're like a chameleon.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that, but I'm just
beautiful
like, I've got
chameleon.
Dark colored skin, like a darker colored skin. I'm hairy. I got dark hair.
You're very hairy.
And most, just to emphasize.
Dude, are you hairy,
so
man?
So people don't actually think I'm human when I'm traveling. They just think it's a Sasquatch.
Look at the ape.
And like even when I was traveling through Asia, no. Asia.
You blend in perfectly. No, you don't.
Thailand. Everybody kept talking to me in Thai, asking for directions.
I can see that.
No, but the only time I had it, well, obviously in Asia, but because it's so many tourists there, like it's a tourist highway through Southeast Asia.
They don't really give a shit there.
They don't care. It's part of the scenery.
It's also Buddhism, I think. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That makes a huge difference.
It is. I never saw like a huge city like Bangkok so chill.
That's so true.
Huge, but I love it there because it's so easygoing.
Yeah, that's so true. But Kuala Lumpur, which is in Malaysia, majority Muslim, that is all. Well, I also found that very chill.
Yeah, but I thought this was boring.
What?
Did you like it?
Boring.
I
found it very boring. Just a concrete jungle. Yeah. Like it didn't have the same kind of markets that you experience in Bangkok. No.
It's like a mix of everything
culture.
Not so cool you can experience if you are in Hong Kong or Singapore or Bangkok.
Yeah.
And then the mix is Kuala Lumpur, but not the good parts.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is how I felt.
There's a lot of malls and I hate malls. I'm allergic to malls being an Australian. Like I want to never go to a mall.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're just like icky places for me. I don't know.
That's true.
There's no windows. They're just shops. And
you Australians don't like windows?
Well, Australians love malls. That's why we have so many. Like they're still building them in Australia. And here, I feel like in Austria, if you build another mall, you're nuts. You're not going to be successful if you build another mall here. I think we're at a mall capacity in Austria.
Yeah,
in Vienna, especially.
Yeah.
Because there's like two big ones, Shopping City Süd, Shopping City Nord.
Product placement.
Yeah. Sponsored by Westfield.
Your partner in crime.
Yeah. Westfield's actually an Australian company, you know that? So it's we're the
that's a circle closest.
Yeah, exactly. Because we are the professionals when it comes to malls, you know, making people go brain dead and buy shit. We're very good at that.
Yeah, I felt like that when I was in Australia. Yeah.
You just paid $9 for a flat white? What?
It's fine.
Don't forget about
it. It's fine.
Look at the lovely interior.
Oh, butterfly.
Yeah. What were we talking about before?
I have no idea. I just thought, well, that's a podcast.
Yeah. This is the podcast.
It is a podcast.
You feel like it's professional? Hey.
This is as professional as it gets. It is, right?
We got in top 20 of Austria.
You are, because it's authentic.
We were. I don't know if we are anymore. I don't even know if they do that thing anymore, the rankings. They stopped the festival.
I think next year there's another podcast festival.
They're going to do another
again
podcast. Okay.
From Ö3. Then you have to win it. TVC gang, go for it.
TVG gang.
TVG gang.
You should know that. You're part of the gang, Patrick.
Yeah, sorry.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm part of it. We just adopt
gang.
People. We run around on the street with this, like, what is this?
You and you.
Chloroform, like putting on them, like jumping out of a van, me and Gabriel, and just like kidnapping people. And you're now part of the TVG gang.
It is what it is.
It's like ISIS without the weapons.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's don't pay anybody. So ISIS.
Even better. We just
encourage them to, I don't know, join in on the shits.
So I think we started how... Did we end up in Vienna?
Yeah.
That's how we started this.
That's it. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I was saying the only place I've ever felt like that where I'm being looked at as a foreigner is Central Asia. Like, so Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, those countries, I really felt like I'm sticking out so much. Like,
yeah. You're also well-traveled, my friend.
Yeah, yeah. I like to travel.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
I traveled well, and I am well-traveled.
Exactly.
Look, so, Patrick, before we go to settle time, where we're going to go deep and meaningful.
Okay.
I'm going to get the German thing out of the way.
Okay.
Right? So, yeah, like I said, you are the... Germans are in a funny position here.
Yeah.
Right? So, even when we did this book, me and Gabriel, I wrote a chapter saying the good... So, the Ausländers, the good, the bad, and the Germans. Because the Germans are always treated like they're not Ausländers, but they are.
Yeah.
And so... I just wanted to ask you straight up because, as we discussed before the show, this topic is so over-talked in Austria.
Yeah.
And, for a long time as well, you know. But what I wanted to ask you is it really, because a lot of Germans say that they get a hard time in Austria. They get a harder time than most or a lot of Ausländers, like an Ausländer like me, for example. Is that true? Like, is it harder? Like, the Austrians, are they harder on you as if you're like a big, big brother or like a wanker of an uncle or something?
The weird uncle.
The weird uncle.
The signal chat.
That talks with a German accent.
I think we are the only group of people where it's okay to be racist against. No, I mean, I do understand it. The longer I live here, the more I understand it. It's like there's one huge difference, I think, between our countries. It's the directness. So we are brought up totally different. Mm-hmm. Very direct, very you say what you think and you do what you say and all these things. Mm-hmm. And here, like this is a comedy podcast, we are exaggerating everything, yeah, of course. Yeah.
We call it a comedy podcast.
It's not so direct. It's more around the corner, or like more like a dance, like Christoph Waltz said in this bit, like Germans are like Titanic and Austrians are like the Waltz. So I think this is the big misconception when Germans come here and they think it's the same, and then they really get problems because it doesn't work like that here. It's different. And we are guests here, and so we have to adapt to that. I think if you get it sooner or later, then you can blend in better a little bit.
Yeah.
And but yeah, of course, it is in the beginning. It's always a thing. Like, ah, okay, German, where are you from? Then in my case, it's easy because that I'm Bavarian. Then it's fine, and then it's out of the way. Mm-hmm. But it is kind of it's a love hate thing. I think it's like you said, like the big brother or the rivalry. Like how do you say
the weird uncle?
Yeah, no, the rival, like you are sort of...
They used to make you watch
horror
films.
They don't really like
it,
but they still look at it, or they compare it, some things. And I think many Germans came here and trying to explain the world to the, and they're like, I don't want to know that. It's not interesting to me. So, you know, there's a
lot. That would be like the British coming to... I mean, it's a bit different, sorry. I'm finding this clip from Christoph Waltz. It's like a British person coming to Australia and trying to explain the
probably,
world to
us.
You know,
I mean, you have got these things going on with Spanish and Portuguese people, or with like British, with everybody, probably.
Yeah.
It is a thing, but I mean, still, we are. I think we are the biggest group of foreigners here in Australia.
Still the biggest, yeah.
Still, and I think in this generation now, I always work. I also work at the Fachhochschule. Mm-hmm. And I have students there, and I don't think it's such a big thing anymore.
No.
It's more a thing our age and a little bit older, like all the guys from like 45 to 55, that range is always something going on, I don't know.
Yeah.
But older than that doesn't really matter, and younger doesn't really matter anymore, in my experience.
Yeah.
But I'm here a long time now, so I'm too soft for Germany now and still too tough for here.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the... In Austria, the multiculturalism has kind of set in the younger generations in a way that's more natural now. You know,
it's like so true. It's more
it
open.
Flows more without people talking about it as in something special.
Yeah.
You know,
the comparison, like every German, like many Germans come here for holiday, and it's very positive about the country and the people. Everybody's so nice and all this very heartwarming and everything. But of course, then you leave again, and that's what they also want, that you leave again. Because they're dependent on the tourism and everything, obviously, especially in Tyrol and everywhere, and also in Vienna. So it's a mixed bag of feelings, I think.
I feel like in the countryside, Austrians are more direct. Vienna, I feel, I don't know, up in the mountains, when you're up there and you're walking and you meet somebody at the Almhütte, and they're just more, especially the Besitzer from the Almhütte, they will be definitely more direct and like take the piss out of you and this kind of stuff. And
the whole thing falls apart as soon as you start like really thinking and talking about it, because they're not true. Austrians. They're not like Germans. Like people from the north are different than the south, or even villages are different. So people are different.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you want this generalization, I think the directness is the most distinct thing somehow.
Yeah. And when you bring talking about that directness, because it's such a cliche of Germans, right?
Yeah.
That they're very direct, that they don't have any humor, which is not true. That they have a rich sense of humor, I find, anyway. But every German I've met.
I like my people, not all of them.
Germans are great travelers as well. That's true. Like, that's one thing I've always noticed. They're everywhere. Like, they're like, Australians are also loving to travel.
Yeah.
And Germans and Australians and Frenchies, you meet them everywhere.
And Swiss around the people. World.
And Swiss people,
like,
yeah.
But Germans, we are like cancer. We are everywhere. That's true.
Wow.
Wherever you go.
I like my people.
You find
Germans
a German.
Are like cancer.
And it's funny, if you travel and you meet people and they are... Everybody has a German friend somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is always if we come into groups, it's different. So if you have us singled out, it's fine.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
No, but I really what I like about us, like in quotation marks, is that in general it's quite reflected. Mm-hmm. So we are one of the not so many countries that really had to deal with our past, which is good and should be like that forever.
Yeah.
But we are we were brought up very reflected, and we have our history is like part of the school system for like years and years and years until you can't hear it anymore, but it is important. So it's always very like, this is how it was, this is how it is, this is never happen again.
Yeah,
you have to stick to your word, and you get this like all the time and everywhere. And the media is very direct and very clear, and everything. There's not much room for like shadowy corners and everything. Everything should be out in the open.
Yeah. The interesting thing, I was watching or reading an article about shame culture in Germany, and this person it was an editorial piece, and they were saying it's time that the Germans got over this, you know, like as in that they let it go into the past, the shame culture of the World War II. And I thought to myself, we're living in an age where everybody's forgetting the horrors of World War II, of both world wars, right?
Yes.
Because people are dying off. So their grandparents, we have less connection to it. So the more generations we're further away from the war, the more likely we are to start another one, because we're like, yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers, let's do it. Let's go to war. Yeah.
It's time again.
Yeah.
No.
And so the Germans will always be the last to forget World War II, right?
It's so close. It's crazy.
It's so close.
My grandpa fought in the war, and my mom grew up in a like bombed Munich. There was nothing, like no stone on the other. It's insane.
And so plus, it's so part close. Of your culture.
Yeah, it is.
It's part of your psyche, right?
Yeah.
Like as in how you're brought up, like you said. So it becomes part of your culture.
It is.
And I thought to myself, actually, no, it's not something that they should be ashamed about in a way that like they committed it, but it should be something that we all remember,
of course,
and pass down on years to year, like
never again.
I think that's being lost, like because we also listen less to older people, you know, like our elderly people in society. I feel like we're less likely to listen to them because we're so focused on youth culture. Like as in, you know, TikTok, all this music, all this stuff, which was always the case, I guess. But I feel like because we live less in family communities now, like me and you, we live away from any of our relatives. I think this is, I think it should be the opposite. I think it's something that where Germans should actually be reminding the rest of the world of it, you know? Like if they...
I think we kind of try to. But it's complicated, especially if you look at the situation in America right now, in the US, what Vance said on the Munich conference and all these things. This is really bad. It's really bad. So I think we have to remember this.
Yeah.
Also, we have to remember we are doing a comedy podcast.
What?
It's a comedy podcast.
We should make a Nazi joke? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Don't mention the war.
So
no, it's important. So the reflection. This is a good bridge to what we spoke before about what this time does to us.
Yeah.
Like massively, like everything is falling apart and you have to reflect on yourself and on what you want, how you want to live, what you want to do.
Yeah.
This is also why it's called good at, because you have to think about what you're good at, because it's easier to think about these things. It's easier get into that reflection process as in comparison to if you think about what you're burning for or what's your passion. This is so like everybody that like, I have the fucking no idea what my passion is.
Yeah.
So focus on what you're good at.
Yeah.
It's easier in the beginning and then you can develop a passion out of that probably it kind of opens up things for you on a different way.
Yeah.
Also the question, not what you want to do now because it's changing massively now, but how you want to live and then build something around that feeling.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. That's when I first fell in love with you as a mate. Mm. When you said to me, like, it's a business, but businesses often have some kind of, you know, motivation behind it that you don't often hear from unless you know the owner. And you said it to me like, I just want to help people work out what they're good at, you know, and bring that out of them and like nurture that, help them nurture that and bring it out of them. And I was like, that's such a great purpose to pursue in life.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing with Gudan.
Yeah, I think it's, I love creative people, so I'm creative myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really know that. I came to this because I worked in agencies and everything before and for brands, and I was just a creative in an agency. And then I stumbled across this recruiting thing,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of like found this talent, which I didn't really know I had, that mm-hmm. I can sort of like intuitively see or feel, okay, there's something. And this person...
Wow, that's unique as well.
Yeah, I mean, and it's always like it's normal for you, but special to others.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also, again, reflecting on these things, which you think everybody can do that. And going this mile to say, no, that is not everybody can do that. And like, this was also a process of getting to this, to say, no, this is special, and I can build something around it, which I love, and then it attracts people who feel the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in this world now, which is so falling apart, pressure, like push doesn't work anymore. Like you have to create pull. You mm-hmm. have to create magnetism, or you have to be authentic, and then the things find you that belong to you
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
without any like magic or something.
That's true. You need to create a pull factor.
Yeah.
Because people don't respond to push anymore.
No.
There's a masturbation joke in there somewhere.
If someone finds it, you will.
Yeah. If someone finds it, please DM us.
Push and pull.
But it's rare. Like, so that's a rare skill because it requires listening. And listening is a skill that we are fucking horrible at. Like, that is something I think I learned. Listening, I learned in my 30s. You know, I always prided myself on being a good communicator. I knew how to write. I knew how to talk. I could talk anybody into buying any kind of shit. But the listening part, that was really
a wake-up call.
Huh?
Thanks for the fridge again.
Yeah.
Which I desperately needed.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
No, but that's something really like... that's extremely rare skill because it does require training. Listening for the right things.
Yes.
And also not only listening with the words that are coming out with the person's mouth, but watching how their body is and their facial expressions and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, and also listening to respond and not listening to then start your thing.
Exactly.
Which people on cocaine love to do.
Yes.
Which we don't do.
Yes, which because we didn't take any coke for this particular episode.
Imagine that. That would be a nightmare.
Yeah, we thought because of the professional topic in there, we would lay off the coke for this episode.
Is it my time now? Is it my time now? I want to speak.
Come on, Patty.
I have so much to say.
Oh my God, I feel alive. Jake, we're just talking about entrepreneurship.
There has to be cocaine in it somewhere.
Yeah. And also this other point I wanted to bring back to that we've talked about a lot, but I thought it was worth mentioning again, that it's so, it's something that it's when somebody says to you, no, that's not normal. That's not a skill that everybody has.
Yeah.
That is such an empower, like that changes, a switch goes off.
Yes.
And I think 90% of people listening to this podcast would not, like, they would have some kind of skill or some kind of thing that they're really good at. Ching. Sponsored by Good At. they wouldn't know about how precious that is or how much it's worth.
Yes.
And that's where I think, especially going forward into these times where everything's uncertain, and that's the anchor.
Exactly.
Like discovering what the fuck that is in your specific self. And it can be a variety of things.
Yeah, and playful. Don't pressure it. Playful. Like,
yeah.
Reflect on it and think about it and like talk to friends about it. And what you think is normal is not. It's like special.
Yeah, but we're all brought up to like nobody. We don't give enough compliments to each other, you know?
That's true.
Like that's why you don't know.
Especially not in Germany.
Yeah. Fuck, compliments. They're as rare.
No.
They're as rare as water in Namibia.
That's true. That's very true.
No, but that's, is that true in Germany though? Is that stereotype true?
No.
Just because I was going to say, I feel like Germans and Austrian parents are the most gentle. I don't know what it was like in the past, but they're the most gentle parenting that I've ever seen.
In the moment, yeah.
Their kid can be screaming at them.
That's true.
And they'll be like, I don't know if it's a good development. It's okay. I get it. Yeah, it's hard that I didn't open your fucking fruit box or your juice box properly how you wanted me to. I didn't know. I should have known. Like, this again, kind of, this is the parenting that I see.
Yeah, here. But this is like what we said before.
Yeah.
This generation grew up, like our parents, they grew up with traumatized parents.
That's true.
So the war and everything, and like building it. And then there was like non-existent fathers or whatever, or they were traumatized coming back and whatever. And this is how our parents grew up.
That's so
true. And then we didn't really know. And I think in your culture or in other cultures, it's like, yeah, it's like we did it always or not so much impact. But this is like completely fucked. And this is the first generation now sort of trying it to do it normal again.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting to watch.
I think we do underestimate how much the trauma of... Oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't that long ago.
No.
The war. So, don't mention the war. Don't mention the war. How do you say? Don't mention the war.
Said it like, yeah.
We underestimate how much that influences the culture here.
Oh, yes.
You know? And we should be taking it easy on people when you think of that. Because we always underestimate... Like past generations, their trauma is passed down in a big way and we're all dealing with it and so forth. We need to be gentler with each other there.
Yeah, our generation is I think, kind of in the position now to work it out.
Yeah.
Because our parents, I mean, I read yesterday, family therapy was invented in 1986. Like, I was 7 there. It was invented.
Nuts.
Yeah, it's insane. Like everything we have now with the whole mental health and what is what and depression, burnout, everything.
Yeah.
It's new. That's not like, we didn't grow up with that. I didn't know anything about that.
We're heading in the right direction now. We can't do a quick
with amount, war and depression.
Yeah. But at least we've got mental health days.
That's true.
Imagine like you're on the front line. You're a soldier and you're on the front line. You're like, nah, I'm taking a mental health day today.
No, today, no. Sorry.
I'm taking a mental health day. I can't handle it. I don't know. I don't feel right. Yeah, I think, I can't remember what I was going to say now. Fuck. It was such a good point.
Yeah.
It was so insightful.
It was amazing.
It was going to blow people's minds.
Absolutely.
It was going to,
tears everywhere.
No, like bits of their mind everywhere because it blows their
also,
mind.
Also, I see.
Visual. There's a visual for you there.
Oh, amazing.
Hey, you know what? One thing I trip up on in German, I was thinking about it just because I did it just before. You know when you say I'm hot, because I'm hot right now. That's what made me reminded because we've got air conditioner blasting and I'm still hot.
Yeah.
In German, in English, you say I'm hot. I am hot. In German, you can't say ich bin heiß. Because that means
you
something
can,
completely different.
Something
you say
different.
Mir ist heiß.
Yes.
This is one of the most common trip ups for English speakers, I think.
Is it?
In German, yeah. Like this, ich bin heiß. It means something completely different.
That's true.
Like those that can't
But it's
speak
a funny
German.
Conversation opener.
Well, it wasn't a conversation
it's an
opener.
Icebreaker.
It was kind of, yeah, that's true.
Literally.
I'll use it on my next.
My best icebreaker is that I'm very hot.
Yeah, ich bin heiß.
Ich bin so heiß.
Yeah, I've been telling everybody the whole time, ich bin so heiß.
Yeah, that's your success about. Now we can see it.
Yeah. Arrogant, confident Australian.
Amazing.
In the room.
I love it.
All right, let's go to Zettel time. And then we're going to go to our topic of today.
Podcast Playtime. Oh yeah, jetzt 5 Sterne geben.
You're from Austria, is that
that's
correct?
That's right.
And there are... Like many Americans, unfortunately, I don't know enough about the rest of the world, and I'm familiar with Germany, but I don't know the difference, say, in the culture between, say, Austrians and Germans. Can you enlighten us?
Oh, the difference between Austrians and Germans is like the difference between a battleship and a waltz.
A battleship and a waltz?
That's about the difference between...
Really?
Yeah.
So there's really not a lot of similarities is what you're saying. How are the Austrians different? I mean, I know there's the Germans, there's the cliché, which is they have no sense of humor.
That's not a cliché.
It's just 100% true.
Well, it's sort of, you know... Germans, I hope I'm not hurting anybody's feelings.
But does go out on television.
Yeah.
The Germans might hear about this.
Yeah. Well, they won't
hear about this. Please speak freely. It's just us and a fake moon. Please, speak.
Thank you. I think Germans always go for head-on collision. You know, it rarely has sort of grace and melody and rhythm. It's just the.
There's no irony, there's no sense of, they just say exactly what they mean.
Exactly. Everything else is dubious and slimy and.
They're suspicious
I'm highly dubious and slimy, so.
Yeah. I love it when a guest just comes out and says that. But you, Austrians then have a sense of humor.
Austrians tend to make their lives easier. So first of all, they are very polite. And second, they don't mean it. So. And it's just, you know, a mode of communication and exchange. And
yes.
in between, you have a sip. So, you know, what can go wrong?
Very nice. Well, I'm Irish, I understand.
Exactly. Well,
we're the same way. We are very nice, but we don't mean it.
No, absolutely. But you know, Ireland has 9 literature Nobel Prize winners. Mm-hmm. 9.
Yeah.
I mean, that says something for communication in a culture.
Yes.
The difference between, in all seriousness, if that's appropriate at all.
No, we'll cut this part out.
The difference between Austrians and Germans is very much like English and Irish.
Right.
Very much.
Right. There's more of the sense of the silly and the absurd, probably.
Yeah.
Settle time.
Paddy. Or Patrick,
yes,
as
sir.
You're known by everybody else. But for some reason lately, I've been taking to call you Paddy because it's more effective.
Do whatever you want.
So you said to me before we started this episode, I'm lost in every place, right? I don't have a home.
Yes.
Because like me, you've lived in different places around the world. And I found that to be a very interesting statement. Expand on it for me.
Dance, dance.
I would rather
do it now.
Dance, bitch, dance.
I think this kind of is the price you pay if you like start leaving home.
Yeah.
And then live somewhere else and you see, okay, that's cool here, but that's weird. And then you go somewhere else and say, okay, I feel like that and this is different. And so do I like the person I am when I'm here and all these things? It's very interesting. Also in relationships, it's the same. Do I like this person I'm becoming? And then you come back and you kind of, I don't know, you can't really, but this is my experience, you can't really connect like before.
Yeah.
But I don't think if it's a general thing because my sister also traveled a lot and she went back to Munich and is very happy there now and she loves it there and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is quite personal. But
so she managed to go back into the mold of German life.
Yeah.
Which is very direct.
Very direct. Crystal clear.
Yeah.
So I think I thought about this a lot, like also the whole what does home mean or what does Heimat sitting here what does it mean?
Yeah.
So I kind of come to the conclusion for me is now for me that I think this feeling is more something I have in me already.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting because the whole thing, interesting for me at least, the whole good at thing was kind of therapy for me. So like getting into this, because I always had the tendency to look out for others, like in the team and how does it, is everybody happy? How does it work? What can I do?
Yeah.
And I kind of always forgot about myself, like not much ego there in that regard.
Yeah.
That's
what makes you a good creative. I'm not joking.
I think so too. Yeah, we creatives are very, very, very good at that, like seeing it in
good
other
at
people.
It,
yes, but with ourselves we struggle. I can see that in every interview.
Yeah.
Anyways, so what I wanted to say that this was very therapeutic for me, like building this company out of this feeling of, hey, okay, the talent you have is is actually quite cool, and you can do something out of that, and you can build something around this feeling. It is very challenging because it's so like woven into you, and it's so combined. And it was, I struggled a lot. I tried, I think, 3 different agencies and different freelancers, and I really was a pain in the ass because it was so connected to me. And then when I realized stuff about me, it always took the next step on the outside. It was super interesting to see. Mm-hmm. So I'm now trying to put this feeling or like this to my private life too. This is what I'm trying in the moment, to see this. Okay, if you tried a lot, you lived in different places, but you never really feel like that you belong there, which is interesting because I can be everywhere and I can kind of like make it work.
Yeah.
Everywhere I went, I build a circle of friends.
You're adaptable.
Something and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but.
Which is also a skill that can't be underestimated.
That's true. Absolutely.
Like, uprooting your life, going to another place, and then just like being open, like opening your world up again to let new people in, new experiences, new culture. That's a huge skill, I find.
It is, but if you are so like, you are so focused on the outside, then if nothing is happening or anything, then you kind of feel a little bit like, and what now? So
anxious,
senselessness of things and everything.
Yeah.
And this is what I learned now. That's the true, last years, like this, okay, there's so much, you can be very, very good on your own too, and you can have days which are very interesting, just you, like reading, thinking, listening to music.
Yeah.
And this is also very uncommon in these times now, where you have this horrible mobile phones, which are a drug and like distracting you all the time and fucking up everything in your brain chemistry and all these things. So it is also like, again, this time that really pressures us into reflection and what we really want and who we really are. And that we have to find that out, sort of, to build something meaningful for later.
Yeah.
And I think now, because everybody is so full of fear, I think there's also a lot of, the downside of it is so much opportunity, and we can influence so much we don't really realize. We can build things, because everything is open, like everything is also possible.
Yeah.
And I think that's more true. People to get into this feeling of, okay, that's what I'm good at, or that's what I really, this is how I want to live. I don't want to do this what I'm told all the time, because it doesn't work anymore anyway. So there are no pensions. When we go to this age, there's going to be nothing there.
What?
Yes, sir. Ah, I'm sorry.
I was counting on that. I'm fucked.
And yeah, me too.
I was so counting on it. I really trusted the state to deliver.
And it didn't. So
my taxes for...
Yeah, but we can still, like, this means that we can build things, we can influence more than we think. We have, I think, we way more power over things than we realize.
Yeah, I think, certainly. I think, and I also think this is a time for big picture thinking.
Yes.
Right? We're living in a time where we have to think about the big picture, and we have to do it confidently. Like, you described a feeling before about, like, when you're going through this process of starting again, building something new, whether it's a life in a new country or a business, and you often, and I think this is something a lot of people will relate to, you often have this feeling like, am I doing the right thing? And you have this anxiety in your chest, like as in, because you're taking your own path. You're not doing the classic template of a life, which is, you know, very safe and secure. And, you know, there's usually a predefined manual, IKEA kind of instruction booklet for you that you have to, you know, go through. You're really defining your own instruction manual. Let's put it that way, to use that analogy.
Yeah.
And 10 out of 10 times when you answer that question, am I doing the right thing? You are doing the right thing, because you are living life in a different way that's open.
Yes.
You know, and as long as you've got that openness, I think life is always going to reward you for that, you know?
Yes, I think so too. It's attraction. It's like...
Yeah, exactly.
I think like life and everything, this is it's not punishing or rewarding. It's just reacting to stuff. And the clearer you are, everything knows how to react to you. It's so simple.
Yeah, exactly.
And becoming this clear, or getting into this clarity, this is... it's a little bit harder path than the other one, but I think it's much more rewarding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The and also to go back to the point of like home. This is one of the most common questions people ask me, because first of all, they're confused on why I'm living in Austria when I come from Australia. Especially Austrians look at me like, what the fuck are you doing? Because they think, you know, Australia's got the great brand of beaches, surf, all this stuff, chilled lifestyle.
Koalas.
Most of it's true. Like most of it is true. Australia deserves its brand, you know, that it's earned itself in terms of chilled lifestyle.
I think everything tries to kill you, but that's fine.
Everything tries to kill you, including the people. So don't go there.
You're all criminals in the end.
Yeah, I have that ancestry as well, exactly. Which is interesting if we unpack that, but let's not do that.
Let's not do that.
But this is the most common question, and I always tried to answer it like, so they would ask, where do you feel more at home, Vienna or Australia? And I would, because Vienna's, I've been here the longest, I've been anywhere else. I've lived elsewhere, but, I always tried to answer it black or white. I said, I think it would depend on the day. I'll be like, I think Vienna, right? Because I don't feel at home in Australia anymore. Mm. I go home and I imagine my life there if I was living there, but I can't feel it vividly.
Mm.
But then I never felt genuine in my answer because I don't feel at home in Vienna either because I'm an outsider and I'll always be an outsider. Like it doesn't matter how much I'm integrated and all this sort of stuff. Like you'll always be an outsider. And I'm also always an outsider back home in Australia.
Yeah.
And then I heard, so this was in a podcast with Trevor Noah and Esther Perel. I would recommend go listen to, everybody should go listen to it. But it's this Esther Perel, so she's a therapist of many degrees, and she also lived elsewhere, and she said that she was also trying to always answer this question of where's home? Where do you feel most at home? And she came to the conclusion that she's local. So she put the wording is that she's local in many places. Mm-hmm. She's a local in this place, like whatever. And so to apply it to my own life, I would be a local in Vienna and a local in Australia. And that sat really well with me because I realized I don't have to have a home, you know?
It doesn't have the same gravitas, sort of.
Yeah.
Like the,
yeah.
But it works. That's true.
And that also felt very liberating because I didn't need to answer that question anymore. I was like, why do I have to have a home? Like, why do I need that security of what we perceive a home to be?
Yeah.
Because it's only fake anyway, the security of it. A home can fall apart in seconds.
That's true.
You know, people die, there's fires, whatever.
It's like an endoskeleton or an internal skelet, like something holding you from the outside or something from the inside. And I think the inside thing is, then you can go wherever and you feel home.
Exactly.
With you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's something you can only have, like, develop with life experience.
That's true.
You know, I don't
but
think
you did amazing here. I mean, you build a family, you build a business on the hard mode because you're not, you speak German, but not like it's not your mother tongue,
you
my friend.
It, Patrick. You can say
so, but building a business,
you can speak
here,
German, but it's shit.
It's on a business level, my friend. No, you know what I mean. I mean, it is amazing what you accomplished.
But being a creative like you, I still think I've done a not good enough.
Not good enough.
Still pushing for more.
Yeah, welcome to Freud City.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But I can understand, especially, I think if you experience Europe, it's such a special place because there's so much grown history and it
is.
Connects differently. When I was in Australia, I loved it too.
Yeah.
But I always felt so distant to everything. It's so far away.
Yeah.
Probably it's different when you grow up there.
Yeah.
But now you as an Australian, being here now, maybe you feel the same. I don't know.
Yeah, and Europeans feel confident of belonging. They have a confidence of that they belong here.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, I mean, it's here forever.
Yeah, so exactly. So they feel like, I feel like as a collective, right? There's obviously, I'm not going to deal in the individual level, but as a collective, they know where they come from and they know themselves. As in, Italians know the country of Italy, the culture, their habits, their quirks and nuances. They know
drama.
It and they're confident with owning it, you know?
That's true.
Whereas in America and like more younger countries, they're still getting to know themselves.
Our favorite country in the moment.
America. Yeah, let's not go there.
Mm-mm.
I think we're going to have a couple of episodes where we just talk about
America.
America, just to get it out of our system.
Oh, man.
We had an American on the podcast a couple of episodes ago, Reginald Barris, and he's a comedian.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how hard it is to be, it's getting harder and harder to be an American in Europe.
I can't imagine.
And I saw, I don't know if it was real news or fake news because it was on my socials, but that America is going to be one of the few countries that sees a drop in tourism this year.
It does.
Yeah.
Already. Like yeah. Las Vegas is empty.
Yeah. And that's crazy because it's, I love America. I want to travel there all the time because it's got such character and so many different faces. But I also understand why, because people don't want to be, like they don't even know if they're going to get to leave.
It's true.
Like there's some weird shit going on at the border.
It took a weird turn.
Yeah.
But not all of them, obviously, but the tendency in the moment is very, very strange.
Yeah.
And unsettling, but also a huge opportunity for Europe to get our shit together.
Yeah.
And to create this place where I don't know. I really love being here. I think...
Me too.
There's a lot of stuff going on that's really cool, and you have all these different worlds in 2 or 3 hours apart, and it's a cool place to be.
Well, I actually think Europe may be about to have its moment, to be honest. Like the economically, in innovation.
We can fuck it up, like, again.
We can fuck it up if we don't cooperate with each other, which is... Europe has a tendency to do.
Yeah,
like I'm saying we now, like I'm part of Europe.
Look, you at me. Are, this you Australian, are. You're adopted.
This Australian just trying to get in on the party. Like I keep turning up in Brussels. Hey guys, can I sit in on Parliament today?
I probably have an Irish passport somewhere.
I often thought to myself, I would love to be part of the EU Parliament, like as in to be a member, like to be a politician
must be so
for the
weird.
EU. I would love to, because I would be like this random Australian. I think I could do a lot of good. Because I would be neutral, you know?
Yeah.
Like I would be this neutral, random Aussie, and they would treat me like a novelty, like a fucking kangaroo in the court. And I would be able to speak to everybody because I'm not from
so
anywhere.
Weird. Do you know that there's a German, like a party called Die Partei?
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah. And they have Martin Sonneborn, who is there now in the parliament.
Yeah.
And he makes his observations, which are insane.
Yeah, yeah.
It is too detached from everything. There's too much money involved and it's too complicated. And it's the same thing in Germany in the moment, where you have all this fear. Everybody is so fearful because it's on such a high level. Everybody is fearful of making a mistake or doing something wrong and lose their status.
Mm.
But we are at such a high level that it's... can only go down, from here.
Yeah.
So, and I think we need a completely different mindset now. We need like entrepreneurial mindset, like ideas, try and fail and try again. And,
having
ideas.
Reckless.
We're
going to be reckless. Like this is the age of being reckless.
Yeah.
And for politicians as well. Like straight talkers, like people doing things differently. Well, you see it in the US. They're doing much better than all of these people playing it safe, you know, as in they're getting into power.
Yeah.
And that's why the right or the far right is so successful at the moment, because they're so reckless with what they say. They're so reckless with what they...
Yeah, easy answers to complex questions are never right. But
yeah, and they speak... Yeah, they exactly.
Work.
They simplify it.
Yeah.
And they're completely extreme with how they talk about it, and they speak very honestly, right?
Yeah.
If they're talking... Like some of the quotes that you can pick out now, if that was said... during the age of the 90s, like they would have been like shunned.
Yeah.
Like, but now it's a time where recklessness is good. I think people need to rally around real talk again, because we've gotten lost so much in like smoke and mirrors of marketing and spin in politics that we need to get back to what politics is about. But anyway,
yeah,
I can't see that happening in Brussels, to be honest.
No.
Unless we go in there and disrupt it.
That's
you can
plan.
Tell them what they're good at, and I can tell them what they're not good at.
Good cop and bad cop.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
That we can be a stripper duo. Good cop, bad cop in Brussels.
What's up, fuckers? Yeah.
Because the politicians there are definitely kinky bastards, you know?
They are.
So we can, you know, pretend we like a Trojan horse. We can pretend to be a strip show. Good cop, bad cop. We like surprise.
We have the shitty ideas with us.
Then we sit down with them and talk through in very like official language and legal language.
Amazing.
These are the policies that we recommend.
Let's conquer Europe.
And we've still got our leather outfit on.
Oh, man.
Anyway,
it's getting out of hand.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah. This is what happens.
The leather outfit.
A professional podcast.
In Berghain in Berlin.
Yeah. Have you been there?
Yes.
Wow. You got let in.
Yes.
You've got that look.
I was surprised too.
Coke-addict look.
Me? Okay, cool.
No,
it was, I think it was 11 in the morning.
I thought you were going to say, I think I was 11.
I think it was 11.
Another difference in Germany.
Thin ice, my friend.
Yeah. But you see, I was a cocaine addicted 11-year-old, so I looked like I was 25.
Yeah, worked out perfectly. No, it's an insane place. It's really crazy. And then we went there after another party, and then it was 11 in the morning, and mm-hmm. I didn't drink that time.
Okay.
So I don't drink in general, not much.
Well, at 11, I hope not.
Exactly. And then the shades opened and it was like daylight and everybody was like, ah! And then the shades closed again and the music. Dum, dum, dum.
No.
So, yeah, it was amazing.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay. Going from Berghain to entrepreneurship.
Yes. Yeah. Easy.
Okay. So you've built up a business here. You're an Ausländer. Both of us have done this, right?
Yes.
So we can both share in this or contribute to this. What was the biggest challenge for you? Do you think, specifically because you were a foreigner starting a business here?
The biggest challenge. Actually, that's what all Germans love to say in English.
Actually.
The toughest part was the process to find out what I want to do, actually. Because okay. Everything else is super easy here and very supportive and very cool. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to try things. Mm-hmm. I could take my time. It could develop. It's super easy with SOS and all these things to set up a business or do something or make a GmbH or whatever.
Yeah,
it's very easy.
Very quick. Mm-hmm.
And it's very supportive. The whole system is very supportive. You have many like Förderungen and all these things. I think it's a great place. And people actually are very happy that you do it.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's different. Like, I think I couldn't have built this thing anywhere else because I knew I had to give it time to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't force that. It needed and it took its time.
Yeah.
And if I build something like that, I don't know, in Berlin, I think in the same time, like 20 other things like that would have popped up already.
Yeah, okay.
So here you're kind of under the radar a little bit.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, very supportive system. And the thing we said before, the directness also has is like here it's not so direct. People talk more about you than with you in general. Like, But it also means that they talk good about you.
Yeah.
So, and this also helped me a lot because I didn't realize it, but I did build a huge network here.
Okay.
Which I didn't realize at the time because I always tried to be nice and try to work it out and try to work the good with the clients and my team and everything.
Yeah.
So, and after a certain time, like everybody like grew up with you. So people, mm-hmm. I was art director and they were my juniors or whatever. Now we are all on this level of, okay, CEO or creative director, whatever.
Yeah.
So your network grew with you.
Yeah.
And if you're not a total asshole,
yeah,
that works for you very well.
Yeah.
Also. Honestly.
Yeah.
So I think it's a very good place to do something like that if you have a network. If you don't have a network, it's very tough.
You're fucked.
It's tough. It's tough.
I mean, you're one of those guys. I'm always amazed on how every time I mention somebody or you mentioned like how well connected you are. You're extremely well connected in this city though. This is unique though.
It's not
though.
So big too, to be honest.
The city?
It's quite.
Well, it's still a lot of people.
It is still.
Our industry, so the marketing advertising industry and is not big.
Yeah.
There's,
I also think that people in general, whatever you do and build, the intention is very important. And mm-hmm. I think people feel my intention that I really want to do this because of what I told you before.
Mm-hmm.
So it is real. It's not like I'm not, it's not a startup which I want to blow up and then scale and then sell or anything. No, yeah. I want to do something that really resonates and that helps people.
Yeah.
In this little field. I mean, we don't save lives, but it is, it's a different thing.
I do.
You
I
do?
Know about you.
Yeah, yeah.
You when do? They see my ads and my marketing online, they're like, that gives them a reason to
enlightenment.
Live.
Enlightenment.
Like, I've had several suicide.
Isn't that the worst?
People on the edge of suicide ring me and say, hey, man, before yeah. I saw that ad,
it brought me back.
I was about to kill myself, but now.
Yeah.
I step back from the bridge.
So everybody, like, beside you, doesn't say
scrolling on Instagram about to jump, because we all would do that now with our addiction to social media.
Yeah. No, it gives a little bit a different set of meaning, which I really like.
Yeah.
And I still think it is only the beginning. I think there's going to be much more. Like, mm-hmm. I feel the potential in everything in that too.
Yeah.
To develop it even yeah. further and everything.
I agree. Yeah. My most difficult part was being taken seriously.
100%.
But I think that would happen in any city, because when you're starting something out, there's so many people starting, maybe a bit more here, because people start out a lot of things, but a lot of things fail in the first years because of the expenses.
Mm.
Like, there's huge tax expenses, the 13th, 14th salary, all these sort of things. So people maybe got used to
being
people
an employer,
popping up and then... People popping up and then, you know, disappearing again.
Yeah.
But I remember, I mean, I was lucky because for some reason I just didn't care what everybody was thinking. I was naive to think, I'm just going to do something good and let's see if it works out. With Vienna Virtual Standards, it started. And then the agency developed and stuff, and I always kept that same mentality. I would just do good work and my team would do good work, and then we'll just, don't worry about the reputation, it will happen itself. You know, I didn't do press stuff or whatever.
Perfect. That's perfect.
And it worked. Like, it happened in a way that people took me seriously after about the fifth year.
Okay.
Like, of the anniversary stand, they started ad contracts properly and all of this sort of stuff. They didn't treat us like, okay, you're this kind of small media outfit that, you know, also with the agency. You know, but I think that's everywhere in the world that you would have that kind of experience.
But that's what we said before. It's authentic and it's you and you can feel it in everything you do. And then it's like, okay, that works.
Yeah.
So
this
is between the lines.
Yeah. Did you ever have one of these MR experiences that everybody talks about? You know, going one of these very grumpy, bizarre MR experiences when you've got to register your business or anything like this?
Not at all.
No?
Nothing.
No?
No.
I had one where...
Sorry.
I know, in the courts, like when... Because I remember the name of my first business here, which I changed the name of because I realized that it was a shitty brand.
What was it?
Power Bang Boom.
Power Bang Boom?
Boom.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, as in like in the old comics, Power Bang Boom.
Mm-hmm.
And there was... So I founded the business first. So the agency is Power
Bang
Boom.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, yeah.
Not.
I mean, for English speakers, it does. But for Germans and Austrians, it's like, what? And I remember the lady in the court where you have to register mm-hmm. your name. And she was like, repeating it like five times. And she's like, this is a stupid name. Choose something else. And I had to, she literally said to me, this is a, what did she say? Like, or something like that. And then she asked me to rethink the name. She's like, this is never going to get approved by the judges because you have to get your names approved if it's unique. You know, if it's your name, like Moss GmbH, like I would have been fine. But because I had a fictional name.
Moss and Moss.
Yeah. So like I had to stay there the whole day trying to talk her into, no, this is what the name is going to
really?
Be. You know? Like, and she sent it upstairs, and I had to then explain it to the judge that mm-hmm. had to like approve the name. Because you're not allowed, like obviously they're very sensitive with names here.
Yeah.
Also with children. Like if you have a child, you have to have a name that's either been done before. You can't name your kid X here.
Apfelstrudel.
Or Apfelstrudel. That one's already taken.
Or Kattelschwarf in Bayern.
Kaiser Schmarrn. Or Kaiser. I would have named my kid Kaiser.
Kaiser Moss.
Fuck, I should have done that.
Amazing.
Or a Kaiserin.
But with a Z.
Because we have two girls. Kaiser.
Yeah. You should call it like Moss and
Z. That is sexy. Kaiser.
Kaiser Moss.
Kaisi. Come over here. That's good.
No, I never had a problem. But I mean, I don't know. Good at is probably not a problem.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Or like designer dog before was already a brand and everything. So.
Yeah, yeah.
No, what, very smooth actually.
Yeah. What tip would you give to anybody starting a business here that's a foreigner? You know, specifically for the foreigners out there, the Ausländers.
The Ausländers.
Those dodgy Ausländers like us.
Oh, a tip. Build a network first.
Yeah.
Know people.
Mm-hmm.
Learn the language.
Yeah.
I think a huge part is knowing the language. But it is a tough language to learn. Life is too short to learn German, once a friend told
Mark
me.
Mark Twain, yeah. He was your mate?
He was my
you
mate.
You knew Mark Twain? Yeah.
We are close.
I think he said that. Wasn't it him?
I have no idea.
I think so.
Some friend told me.
He's a TikToker, right?
It is. Exactly. So I think the language is important. But on the other hand, if you have a really good idea that resonates, that is authentic and everything, so...
Yeah. I'm often thinking to myself, though, why did I open a business here? Like, why did I do that? That doesn't make...
I mean, parts, like I said, parts are very good and other parts are the shittiest place, because if you hire people, it's the worst place.
It's hardcore.
Like, yeah. 14 salaries, yeah. And everything is so complicated.
Yeah,
I keep my employers to the minimum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
it's really...
I outsource to China.
Jesus. Yeah, it is.
Look, this is the best advice anybody gave me with business, but it just couldn't happen in Austria as well as it would elsewhere. Keep your fixed costs low as long as you can you're starting out a business. But here, as soon as you hire somebody, your fixed costs go up.
Fixed costs are through the roof.
Yeah, yeah. And it just becomes a lot harder. And it discourages you from hiring more people, even when you need more people. So it creates more work on the people you work with or you. So that's the really hard part when you go from this step of running it yourself to then hiring people.
Yeah.
That's the biggest, hardest part in Austria.
That's if you can survive from that. Selbstständig to entrepreneur.
Genau.
That's the step.
Genau, yeah. Exactly.
Unternehmer.
If that works, you're golden.
I mean, what's also great is that it works here. You could probably scale it to Germany, which is like a huge economy.
Yeah,
so that's also a good thing to try it here. But it is on hard mode. It's not easy.
Yeah,
it's not easy. That's true.
Yeah.
But another thing I thought about, because the thing how to find what you're good at, I had to think about, because I spoke to a friend a few years ago and we tried to figure out something. He was a doctor who had a burnout and he didn't want to go back in working at the clinic.
Okay.
So we thought about. And if you kind of find the circles, stuff that you love and that you're interested in and what you're good at, what are your good skills, in these circles, there's the magic. Like, he's a doctor, he wanted to work with kids, he loves football. And what's the Überschneidung? So what's where it all meets? And now...
You genetically modify children to play better at soccer.
That's one solution, and the other one is he's now like the team doctor of a soccer team, and he also trains like the youth team there.
Wow, like as in health wise as well.
Yes, so which is super interesting. Cool. If you start to think about stuff you really like and how you can combine stuff.
So can you repeat that recipe again, just quickly? Like you take the things that you're one thing you're interested in,
yeah.
One thing you're good at,
yeah.
And maybe one thing you're already doing?
Maybe, yeah. What are your skills? What are you interested in? What you love? What you always wanted to do? And see what's happening if you combine these things.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, because it's the same. Because I'm a creative. I never thought about building a recruitment whatever company.
Yeah.
Well, you can't think of that.
No.
But then you start off, okay, I don't know, recruiting and people and like finding the potential in things and people. And then something like that appears.
Yeah.
And I think... we have to reassemble stuff we are already having and find what it is and mm-hmm. then like put it together differently and then something new occurs and then you can feel it. Ah, that works. Hmm. So always work. I think also more out of your gut, like you can feel if it works and not think about it too much.
Yeah. So I feel like listening to your gut is also a skill. Like trusting your gut. Most people don't trust their gut and I'm like, fucking the gut is the only way I've lived through life.
Yes.
Like, and survived.
Yes.
The travels that I did. Like, when I felt something was suspicious, it came from my gut. Like, as in, this scenario is not right. I got it. And also, in the scenarios, this feels good from my gut, Never from my head.
No.
Yeah.
There's also a cool trick that you give your brain a name.
Yeah.
And
that's
look,
good.
Look what's Paul like telling me again. There it is
fucking
again.
Paul. Paul, you're such a bitch, Paul. Yeah.
Shut up,
stop,
Paul.
Stop overthinking it, Paul. Such an overthinker.
Yeah, that you get this like this distance to yourself step by step.
Yeah.
To look at you, and you're not your feelings and your thoughts. You are the entity that looks at the feelings.
That's
and
really
thoughts.
Hard.
And that's but that's interesting.
That's very interesting.
And then you
yeah.
can see, oh, there it is again, or whatever.
That's very hard, but it's a crazy good feeling when you manage to get that bird's eye view of your
yes.
life,
detach.
Of you in a situation. Detach yourself from yourself. Yeah. This is very powerful when you can do that.
Mushrooms do the same.
Yeah, mushrooms, cocaine.
No, do cocaine
drugs. Doesn't. Do drugs. It's much easier.
Just the drugs.
Or go to Mexico and do an ayahuasca. Like.
No.
Okay, good. Patrick, we always have at the end of an episode a song to chuck into the worst playlist.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been listening to anything recently that it can be anything? Like it can be like, I don't know, George Michael, some atmospheric kind of spiritual shit that you've been listening to?
No.
No.
Let me check. I will just check my Apple Music. What's the thing?
Yeah, do that. I'm looking at mine as well.
What's the one I just listened to? I love music, but I'm not so attached to the names of stuff, to be honest.
Yeah, I get that.
it's more like the vibe. It is super cheesy, but I listen to Mozart.
That's not super cheesy at all.
And actually, the worst, the Zauberflöte.
Yeah?
I don't know. Sometimes it's so connected to my childhood because my parents, they really drove on
they
classical
had a magic
music
flute.
And everything. My dad had a massive flute.
He had a magic flute.
Yes.
And that's what created
and a
you.
A magic flute. Yeah.
And so, your mom used to play that flute?
Like a fiddle. Yeah, so sometimes when I feel the need to
that's cool.
to connect, I don't know. I walk to Vienna and listen to that.
Okay, because you put something that you think is cheesy in there.
Yeah.
I'm going to put something that I know is cheesy, but I'm going to admit to it. I listened to, I had to drive back from Romania this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to the whole soundtrack of Les Miserables, right? The motion picture one, like is in the one with Hugh Jackman and that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and
musical.
Yeah. And I saw it in London. I cried, man. Me and I befriended this woman sitting next
you
to me.
You kind of look like him too.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, you could play Wolverine.
I love Hugh Jackman. He's like my boy crush.
More like
he would
margarine.
Be the only guy and Bon Jovi that would turn me gay. Really. Like
easy. In an instant.
Yeah, my pants are down before he even asks. Look, and so I'm going to put it in there. From Les Miserables, One Day More, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's such a powerful song.
Mm.
And I remember this when connects I saw
deeply.
It. In, yeah, yeah. When I saw it at in London with... And for some reason, this woman next to me was there with her husband. She didn't like her husband very much, obviously, because she connected really with me. And as in, we went for drinks afterwards. Her husband went home because she was so...
We
connected so much over Les Miserables. We didn't make out or anything. But like we just got along so well about that. Oh, yes, bravo, bravo, it's so beautiful. This kind of shit. But that's
nice.
My song for today.
Beautiful. I have another one if
good,
you want.
Good, good, yeah.
In Excess, Disappear.
Very good song. And it's an Aussie band.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Just for you.
Mate, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Coming on me. I mean, coming
again.
On. The magic flute did it for me.
The magic flute.
Look, Patrick, really, thank you so much. I love chatting when we have chats. That's why I knew you would be great to have on this podcast.
Thanks, man.
And even though Gabriel likes to call it a comedy podcast, that's why I hate it when he does it. Because it's like, I don't know, this podcast is what it is. It's not anything, you know.
Like, it's amazing.
It's the best
like
way
you.
To describe
it's
it.
It's cool. Yeah.
It's how I pitch it to people.
Yeah.
To advertise.
Whatever.
Like
it, whatever happens.
Coca-Cola comes to me. They're like, so describe your podcast to it. It's anything. Anything that happens in the podcast, that's what it is, you know?
And it stays in the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Thanks, Paddy.
Was a pleasure. Thanks,
anything
man.
You want to, any parting words you want to leave with the audience?
No, I think we said more than enough.
No matter how bad you got it, according to the Viennese, they've got it worse. Bussi and Papa. The Worst Guide to Living in Austria is a Worst Agency production, hosted by Jacob Moss and Gabriel Schascher Schaffler. It's dropped every Monday and available everywhere you get your podcasts.